Amen. I'm thankful God has promised to supply all of our needs. Amen. What a blessing. The song this morning. And I tell you, I did have a great week, and I hope you did as well. And I did not eat any sweets last week, which is the first time ever in Thanksgiving I've ever done that. I looked at the pecan pie, looked at the pumpkin pie, looked at the chocolate cake, looked at the chocolate brownies, and then I had some fruit. And so just trying to stay with it. So here we go. It was really boring eating all that stuff. Thankfully, my dad made steak for one evening and fried a couple of turkeys. Why would anybody ever bake a turkey ever again? When you can fry one, that grease is still inside there. It's so moist. It's amazing. I mean, even the white meat on the turkey is good when you fry it. Anyway, some of y'all don't. Yeah, okay. All right. Psalm 100. Lord just led me. I'm going to change our text and the message this morning. And we will start next Sunday morning preaching through 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We did an overview last week, a topical message. And next week we'll start a three-part series on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which is our theme verse there in verse 16. And I'm looking forward to that. He says there in 2, I'll give you like a preview. Y'all ready? I got lots of time because I got the pulpit early. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, therefore we have this ministry. We have this ministry. He's talking about the New Testament ministry. So next week, I look forward to preaching on what is the difference between the Old and New Testament. Testament, the covenant, the economy. And by the way, he says in the previous chapter, chapter 3, we have it far better than the Old Testament saints. We have it far better than that Old Testament contract. Listen, that was pretty tough. You lived in the Old Testament under the old covenant, and you had to come to the temple, and you had to slaughter animals, and on. You had to come to the priest to worship. I'm thankful the Bible says in the New Testament we are royal priests. And I'm thankful that I can approach the throne of God. I don't have to have somebody else approach it for me. Amen? So you can tell I'm a little bit worked up about the message for next Sunday. It's going to be awesome. I hope you'll be here, and it's a terrific verse and verses there. We'll probably preach through the first seven verses next Sunday morning. Familiar passage today, familiar thought, and that's really what it is, a devotional thought this morning, as we have a desire to be a thankful people, a thankful people. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We ought to be a thankful people. Again, just a simple thought this morning. Preached this lots of times, but a lot of time for those of you who know English. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your love. And we just pray this morning you would help us to be a thankful people. Help us to remember the blessings you've so richly given to us. Lord, our salvation, and Lord, just our families and friends and our health and Lord, our jobs and our homes. I pray, God, that we would be a thankful people. In Jesus' name, amen. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, the loveliest flower that blooms in the garden of the heart is the flower of gratitude. Gratitude. We ought to be a grateful people. A grateful people. We won't turn there, but in Romans chapter 1, it describes those who have been given up to a reprobate mind. And in there he says, in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 28, he says, neither were they thankful. Neither were they thankful. Because they, those who became reprobates, were not thankful. God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Those who do not want to be accountable to the Creator, the Bible says God gives them up. But in that context, he also says that they are unthankful. Listen, we ought to be a thankful people. Thankful people. We ought to be thankful. A lot of sins committed today are the result of a lack of genuine gratitude of the heart. It's really just being grateful for what God has given us. Being grateful for the things that God has given us. For our health and so many other things. We ought to be, and I'm going to mention this like 3,000 times, we ought to be a grateful people. A thankful people. Men ought not, we are not naturally thankful. And y'all have heard me preach this before, but gratitude is not a part of our nature. It's not a part of our nature. I don't care what anybody says. Some people say, well, people are born in this world, they're born good. No, the Bible says we're born sinners. We're born selfish by nature. The Bible says that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, we are all born into this world sinners. And by the way, John tells us that sin is a transgression of the law. Well, Jesus says what the law is. He summarized all those 613 laws in the Old Testament down to one. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them. For this is all the law and the prophets. So there's one law, and it's really the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We ought to treat others as we want to be treated. And that does not come naturally. Now, over time, you know, as life experiences come on, we find ourselves doing for others. But, man, when we're young, we have to be taught to. We have to be taught to do for others. It does not come naturally. See, anything you have to be taught to do is not part of your nature. And anything you do without being taught is a part of your nature. In other words, a duck naturally swims. You throw a duck in the water, it swims. It doesn't have to be taught to swim. It naturally swims. You throw a cat in the water, which a lot of us would like to do, and a cat, by the way, my dad has a cat that thinks it's a dog. Every animal my dad owns thinks it's a dog because that's the way he treats them. He now has a bottle calf. The cows on the farm died, and so Dad is bottle feeding that calf, and the calf thinks it's a dog. It's amazing. The horse on the farm thinks it's a dog because that's how my dad treats it. The cat, in fact, we call it a dat. It's a dog cat because it acts just like a dog. It's the strangest thing you've ever seen in your life. I'm telling you. A cat does not naturally swim. A child does not. You throw a child into the water, and you better be there to pick him up out of the water. I remember the first time my dad threw me into the pool, and I floundered around, and eventually, of course, he came and helped me and learned to swim. But that's, again, swimming for a human being does not come naturally. It has to be taught. You have to teach a child how to swim. So, understanding that we are sinners by nature. You don't have to be taught to sin. It comes naturally. Again, two kids fighting over a toy, it comes naturally. That's mine. No, that's mine. No, that's mine. You know, I'm talking about the kid hitting the other kid over the head. It comes naturally. It comes naturally. We have to teach them otherwise. Again, you don't have to be taught to sin. It is natural to be ungrateful. But it's an unnatural thing to be grateful. As we think about teaching a child to be grateful, teaching a child to have a grateful heart, they had to be taught to say thank you. I had to be taught to say thank you. It was taught to me. It didn't come naturally. Somebody gave me something. My mom and dad said, now say thank you. Say thank you. And they repeated it and repeated it and repeated it. By the way, you have a bunch of parents today who are not doing that. Amen. And I'm thankful for a group in here that does. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you ought to make your kids say thank you when something's given to them or something is done for them. They ought to be taught gratitude. They have to be taught gratitude. Some children are more stubborn than others. And sometimes we, in order to help create in their heart a grateful heart, we have to discipline them. And make them say thank you. Doesn't mean they're really grateful. But we're going to make them say thank you. They ought to be taught to be grateful. And as I said, over time, it does create within us, especially after experience, a grateful heart. Not a perfect heart. We're not always grateful. But certainly through experience, we learn to be grateful. Amen? I mean, there's a time when you didn't have that. Now you have that, and you're grateful. We ought to be grateful people. I've used this one before. I'll use it again. It says, a lady gave a little boy a piece of cake. He said, "Oh, thank you, ma'am." And she replied, "I like to hear little boys say thank you." Right away, he said, "If you'll put on another piece of ice," I always mess it up. "If you'll put some ice cream on top of that, I'll do it. I'll say it again." Anyway, I messed it up. Can't tell a joke. Can't even read a joke right. I always think as I bend down if the people watching on the internet are getting blinded. We have an ungrateful nature. But we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. You know, just because we become adults doesn't mean we ought not to show gratitude to others and be thankful. I've tried to practice, and I'm certainly not perfect at it, but of writing thank you notes. Of writing thank you notes. And it's been amazing to me over the years. I've had a couple of people say, "I've never received a thank you note before." It's amazing, isn't it? We as adults many times need to be retaught to show gratitude towards others. And again, I know I'm not perfect. There'll be some in this room say, "Hey, I did that for the church and the pastor and never got a thank you note." Well, no, I'm not perfect either. But we try to be thankful. It's just a reminder to be thankful. I'm thankful for what God has done here at Heritage Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the church family we have and so much more. Thankful, to be thankful, but also to show that thankfulness to others. How are we to have a thankful heart? How are we to have a thankful heart? A person can never genuinely have a thankful heart until they recognize the things that he or she possesses come from God. You really want to be thankful? You need to be thankful recognizing where things come from. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Amen. It comes from above. Everything we have comes from God. Your home. You say, "Well, I worked and I paid for that house. And God gave you that job. Amen. And God directed that person to hire you. And God supplied those finances and so forth and so on." I'll never forget. In fact, my in-laws reminded us. They drove by our first house the other day in Bowie, Texas on Ushery Street. Yeah, Ushery Street. It's right on the corner. And now it's just a storage room for an electrical company. It's a storage building. And I think about the time we moved out of it, they turned it into a storage building. And I'll never forget, we were about 5 or 6 months away from getting married, and one of my teachers in high school said, "Hey, I have a rent house downtown. If you would like to live there after you and your wife get married. He says, "And if you'll go in and paint it and do some things, I'll let you live there rent-free. Woohoo! Newly married. That's awesome. Rent-free. Two-bedroom, little pier and beam, house built probably in the 40s or 50s. It was an interesting house. I've told y'all some of the stories. You walk through the front door and close the door. Well, you can still see outside. It was, there were gaps all over the door, and we painted it, and we put ceiling fans up in a couple of rooms. It had no doors, no interior doors. There was not one interior door in that entire house. You had the front door and the back door, that's it. So we hung curtain up over the bedroom door, I think we had a curtain over the bathroom door. And so, that was it. The plumbing was messed up, so a few weeks before we got married, me and the teacher went down and bought some plywood and went into that bathroom and cut the flooring out of it and put down a piece of 3/4-inch plywood and put the toilet back on top of the plywood, and that was it. That was the flooring in the bedroom, 3/4-inch piece of plywood. The bathtub had a gap about that big all the way around it that just kind of peered down into under the house. And when you took a bath, there was no shower, it was a bath, the wind just kind of came up, It was awesome. Of course, you couldn't keep that house warm or cool hardly, and we had a window unit for the summer, and in the winter we had those Dearborn heaters, had one in the living room. And boy, you'd get up in the morning, in your breath, you could see your breath, in the bedroom, and it's something, it was something. And one time there were some hornets decided to put a nest hornet nest in the wall, the outside wall of the house, and they got inside. You know Windex will kill? It's amazing what Windex will do. Windex will kill bees and hornets. And it was a true hornet's nest that had the different size ones, you know, the big ones and little ones. It was awesome. Got up one morning, there was 100 of them on the inside of the house in the window, got the Windex out. And what other things happened? By the way, I used gasoline to kill them on the outside. That's all I knew. Do what? Yeah, I got stung by one of those bees as well. Yeah, it was a great house. We didn't have a lot of visitors. I don't know why. Y'all remember that old furniture that was wood and just had like the cushions were cushioned, but everything else was wood. They were real popular. Design was wagon wheel. That was it. Yeah, that was the furniture somebody given us in the living room. Yeah, our parents. And then in the bedroom, it was just a, you know, queen mattress, or actually a full-size mattress on the floor. Leaky roof. One time, it was full of daddy long legs. I don't know why. They were everywhere, thousands of them. And so you just get them up in the morning, just kind of bag them up, put them in a bag, take them outside. It was a great house. Again, you could see outside the windows, I mean, through the cracks. But man, it was rent-free. And at that time, we were thankful. Amen. And I tell you what, living in something like that, we lived there probably 10 months, maybe. You know, living in something like that sure help you to be thankful now. Amen. Can I just aside a little bit? Don't just give your kids stuff. Make them work for it. Parents, I'm telling you, you'd be much better off having your kids work for it. We practice in our home, our kids doing half. Half car, half insurance, half college. And we do half. And we do half only if you don't give us any trouble. And if you give us trouble, we give you nothing. I was thankful. As I look back, I'm thankful that I worked for those things. And you say, well, preacher, you had a pretty good job. I could have lived in a nicer house, but I wanted to buy books. I was building my library. And then I became youth pastor and made $75 a week. It was awesome. I walk into my house now, I just can't believe it. If we sell this house, we're going to live in another house that I can't believe either. God is so good to me. And listen, God has been good to you. Amen. And we ought to be thankful. Thankful. And you know what? The way to be thankful, again, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, is to think. Think about what God's got. Count your blessings. Amen. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Might be good to go back and take a picture of that first house you rented or whatever the case is, or the apartment. God wants us to feel grateful. We shouldn't take His blessings for granted. Somebody has said this, the most wicked, sinful person is one who thinks he or she is self-made. They fail to recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. I'll never forget my first trip to Mexico. This would have been 20 years ago. Me and Brother Jernigan went to Mexico, my pastor then, and my first time to ever go out of the country. We flew into Monterrey, Mexico. We were going to be there 10 days, and we flew into Monterrey, Mexico, and remember the missionary, Brother Ashcraft, came and picked us up, and as we drove out the airport, you came down this road, and you followed the river, but there was no water in the river, but it was just a dry riverbed. And as we got just a little bit further into the city, close to the city, there was just cardboard after cardboard after cardboard all along this dry riverbed. Cardboard. I said, what is all the cardboard out there for? Those are homes. It was thousands. I'm not kidding. Thousands of cardboard homes. People living in cardboard homes. And I'll never get over what I saw that day. Just I was amazed. People live this way. People gripe about America and living on welfare here in America. And listen, third world country, try that. Amen. Living in a cardboard house. seeing those children. We actually did some door knocking in some areas, living in cardboard houses. We ought to be a thankful people. Remember the blessings that God has so richly given to us. God has blessed us abundantly, above and beyond measure. God has been so good to us. And yes, you know, you may run through and have some difficult times, but boy, God has been so good. God has been so good to have a roof over our heads and so forth. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We should not forget. That's the problem. You know, the devil will come in and he'll try to discourage you. By the way, discouragement's one of his greatest tools. And being discouraged is a sin, by the way. It's a lack of trust for God, a lack of trust in God. So, you know, when you get discouraged, you need to remember, trust in Him. He will supply your needs, as they sang a while ago. And so, discouragement. We need to be careful. Well, the devil used that tool to discourage us. We have to stay focused and remember, don't forget the good stuff. We always have a tendency to look at the bad. Because that's the devil. He just wants you to do that. We have a tendency, because of our nature, to look on the negative instead of the positive. And so when people come into my office, sometimes I'll say to them, "Hey, just go home and write down the bad stuff and write down the good stuff. It won't take 10 minutes, and your good stuff will far outweigh the bad stuff." It's just we have a tendency to focus on the bad. We have a tendency to focus on the negative. I love the old song, "When upon us billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done." Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes you got to sit down and count them. Yep. I mean, literally, sit down and write them out. And God has been so good to us. Don't forget all of His benefits. A person can never be genuinely grateful unless he or she understands where stuff comes from. Everything comes from God. By the way, salvation is of the Lord. I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful at the age of 6 years old I accepted Christ as my Savior. And by the way, when I got saved, He became boss. By the way, God is the rightful owner of everything. The reason why you have Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 28, is because people don't want to be accountable to their Creator. There are no atheists. By the way, atheists have faith as well. They have faith in evolution. It takes as much faith or more faith to believe that a speck of dust out there started spinning. By the way, what started it spinning? And then it exploded and became all that we see here. That takes as much faith as believing that there's an all-powerful God who created all things and that He is intelligent, and we see from the intelligent designer an intelligent creation. I mean, it's crazy to think that a rock can become a living something. No, God created living something. He created Adam and Eve, created all the animals. There are no such thing as atheists. An atheist simply does not want to be accountable to a creator. He doesn't want to be accountable to His Creator. Doesn't want to be under the authority of the Word of God. We see that so much today, as Brother Gibbs pointed out a few weeks ago. And so God is Creator, and we are under His authority. He has the right of creation, and therefore He is the Creator, and therefore we are under Him. By the way, He upholds all things by the word of His power. He is the Creator and Sustainer. Get that now. He is the Creator and Sustainer. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Acts 17 says, "In Him we live and move and have our being." In other words, He even is the one who is allowing us to breathe today. Amen. He's the one giving us breath. That's what the Bible says. Our God, the Creator of the universe, created us for His pleasure. Created us in order that He might have fellowship with us. And He made the world for us to enjoy. Sometimes we forget that. The world was made as an environment for mankind to enjoy. I've said this before, but he could have created everything in black and white. He could have created everything to taste like, I'm trying to think of something I don't like. Could have made everything taste like, my wife's been helping me in my message today. Nothing? Got nothing on that one? I like everything. God, I seriously can't come up with something. You know what I thought of? The very first thing I thought of, which I wish I had, was sauerkraut and weenies. Man, it's been a long time since I had sauerkraut and weenies. But he could have made everything taste bland. He could have made everything taste like mush. He could have made everything taste like one of them little rice cakes people eat. There you go. I don't like those. Nor would I eat them. No, he created fruit. I mean, he created apples and oranges, and he created avocados, and he created, I just imagine, he created all these various plants and vegetables and all these things. Why? 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 Didn't have to. Created them for us. That's our Creator. Loves us. We ought to be thankful to Him. Not only does He have the right of creation, He has the right of redemption. In other words, Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years, then laid His life down for us, and there died on a cross and shed His blood on Calvary that our sins might be forgiven and that we might escape hell and have a home in heaven. The right of redemption. In other words, Corinthians tells us we've been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. I'm thankful that God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, this morning, if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. The Creator of the universe became man and dwelt among us, the Bible says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, God became flesh and dwelt among us. And God lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. He could do no other. He was God. God can't sin. Jesus Christ couldn't sin. He was just as much God as though He'd never been man, and just as much man as though He'd never been God. He was the God-man. He lived a perfect life. See, Christ was uniquely qualified to be our Savior. He was man, He was God, He was sinless, He died, He buried, and He rose again from the dead. He is qualified to be our Savior because there's no other man who's ever been sinless. He's God. Listen, He died for you. He was put in a tomb, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. Again, proving He paid for our sins in full. Jesus Christ came and again died and was buried and rose again. The gospel, the good news of salvation for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I hope there's been a time in your life when you put your faith in the Lord. The basis of thanksgiving is recognizing that everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. Again, may we always have a genuine heart of gratitude. For what should we be thankful? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, I read this Thursday night, says we should be thankful in all things. Ephesians 5, verse 20. We should be thankful in all things. This is a tough one. It means we should be thankful in the good and the bad. We should be thankful in the good and the bad. Why? Because Romans 8, 28 exists. Ephesians 5, 20 says we should be thankful in all things. And then Romans 8, 28 says that God works all things together for our good. And as long as those two verses are in the Bible, it's going to remind us that, again, we should be thankful for the good and the bad. It's a tall order. It's a tough order to be thankful for those times in which things are not going well. But they do go together. It's easy to be thankful when money's in the bank. It's easy to be thankful when you're healthy. And it's easy to be thankful when you got a raise in your salary or everything's going well in the home and in the kids and all that. But it's hard to be thankful when you go to the hospital or when you're put in the hospital. It's hard to be thankful when you lose your job. It's hard to be thankful when you have a loved one pass away. It's hard to be thankful, isn't it? It's hard to be thankful in the tough times, but the Bible says that God works all things together for our good. If you live long enough, many of those past difficulties you will view differently. I know I have. Many of the deaths in the family that me and my wife have gone through have helped me minister to many, many other people and been a blessing to many others. Because of just even my mother passing away 2 years ago has allowed me to minister to others unlike I've been able to in the past. Our two daughters that passed away years ago has allowed me to minister to young families who lose infant children. I think about church problems and those things. Even 21 years ago, a big 22 years ago, big church problem. Look what God has done. You know, we think about difficulties that God, we look back and we say, God did that for my good. And not all the time can we do that. Not all the time can we look back and say, you know what, I see why God did that. And many times we got to wait till we get to heaven. But a lot of times we can go back and see. We can look back and see. It's an amazing thing. God always has our best interests in mind. And we need to be thankful for the good and the bad. If you go and read the story of Job, Job lost everything. All of his children, all of his wealth. He lost everything, his health. In fact, his wife said, Job, won't you just curse God and die? No, Job said, naked came I in my mother's womb, naked I will return, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's amazing how Job went through that dire circumstances. At the end, he began to question his creator. It's amazing how it follows Isaiah chapter 40. God reminded Job of his care for him. And then God showed Job through various circumstances how great God is. In fact, God said, Job, who controls the tornado? Well, implication is God does. Job, who controls the dinosaurs? Who controls the animals? Who controls the weather? Job, who controls? God does. God is control of everything. God is greater and bigger than anything that comes in your life. Listen, how big is your God this morning? Many times we're not thankful because we have such a low view of God when it comes to the bad things that come in our life. And we don't take Romans 8:28 at face value. God says, I will work all things together for your good. Do you believe it or do you not? Or do you just believe the parts that you like in the Bible and leave out the parts you don't? Amen? And my intention is not to be mean this morning, but just to remind you. We ought to be thankful in the bad things as well. And by the way, Job saw the care of God. He saw a greater vision of who God is, of how great and powerful God is. And what happened in the end? God blessed him. God blessed him immensely. I mean, God strengthened him. They that wait upon the Lord will renew your strength. God cares, God's big, and God will take care of you. Be thankful in all things. Trials will either make you bitter or better. It's your choice. The circumstances of life will make you bitter or better. It's your choice. Remember, God's in control. Again, how big is your God? Lastly, how are we to be thankful? We ought to be thankful, but how? How are we to be thankful? So many times we become complainers. You ever ask somebody how they are today? How are you doing today? All terrible. Y'all have heard me that you use this one before, but I like it. It says, a preacher once asked a man, how are you getting along? His reply was, pretty good under the circumstances. The preacher said, what are you doing under there? What are you doing under there? What are you doing under the circumstances? You ought to be on top of the circumstances. Brother Rigsby, when I was attending seminary, was the administrator of our school. And every morning we had to be there at 7 o'clock. And I drove from Bowie and Nakona, so I had to get up at 4:15, 4:30, and to be at school by 7. And we get there, and you had to be there at 6:45, really, because we had prayer meeting. And he'd start that prayer meeting off. And many times, I don't know how many times he'd say, remember, guys and ladies, the sun is always shining above the clouds. And he'd just smile, and it's like, I'm tired. I want to hear that. Sun is always shining above the clouds. Don't matter what happens, the sun is always... You know what? My first airplane flight, I recognize that now. The sun is always shining above the clouds. Always. And in your life, the sun is always shining above the clouds. And what are you doing under the circumstances anyway? You ought to be on top of those. With God's help, you can stay on top of those. You don't have to be under them. How are we to be thankful? The number one thing is to think. 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 Thanksgiving. Thankfulness. That's the root word, the Anglo-Saxon root word. Think. Thankfulness. Think. The more you think, the more thankful you'll be. Somebody said, people who are not thankful don't think much. As I've already stated, think. Think about your family. I thank God for my family. My three boys. My wife. The things we've been through, but the great things we've done too. I'm thankful for the times we've gone fishing and the times we've gone hiking. And I'm thankful for the times we rode horses and rode four-wheelers. And I'm thankful for the times we've sat around the table. And we don't do that as much as we should anymore, but only three of us at the house. But I'm thankful for those times we sat around and read the Bible together and prayed together. I'm thankful for those times. I'm thankful for my wife who puts up with me, especially the last couple of years, puts up with me and my ups and downs. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Thankful for a family I don't deserve. Thankful for the grace and mercy of God. Hello? Anybody else out there? We all married up. Somebody's asked us, is your wife smarter than you? Yes, but not stronger. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my health. And I have a couple of weird stuff that I got received from my mom and every once in a while I have to deal with it, but I'm thankful that for the most part I'm healthy. I'm healthy. I inherited a couple of things, but I'm healthy. I'm thankful in high school I had the opportunity to play football and lift weights. And I know you won't believe this. It's been a long time since I said anything, but I actually won state powerlifting in high school. I know that surprises a lot of you, but I won the state of Texas in the 181-pound class. I weigh a little more than 181 now. And then I won the best overall lifter in the state of Texas my senior year, 25 years ago. I'm thankful for that. I always tell, I love to arm wrestle, and so we'll arm wrestle somebody, and it'll be some young guy who's really big, and I'll beat him in arm wrestling, and they'll say, how in the world did you beat me? I always tell them, old muscle is stronger than new muscle. That's why when your grandfather's like 73, he can outwork you. Working with my papa, driving T-posts, the guy wouldn't quit. 73, 74 years old. I was much stronger than him. Old muscle stronger than new muscle. Thankful for my health. Thankful for my family. Thankful for my friends. Thankful for my kids. I just go on and on. Thankful for this church. What a blessing to be a part of Heritage Baptist Church. What a blessing to be a part of such a great church family who loves each other and cares for each other and not perfect. By the way, if you want to join a perfect church, you'll join it. It won't be perfect no more. There's no perfect church out there. There's always going to be issues. There's always going to be something going on. It's amazing. It's a miracle of God that a church survives with all the different personalities that are in it. It's a miracle. It really is. We are a church family. What a blessing. It's been amazing to see what God has done for our church and both facilities and people that have been saved. And it's just amazing. I'm thankful for my stuff. I'm thankful for my 1991 Mazda Miata. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can go, not in our parking lot, of course, but go into a parking lot and do donuts. It's awesome. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for our stuff. I'm thankful for my home. Stuff that God has given me. We're supposed to enjoy them. It's not wrong to enjoy those things. They come down from above as well. Thankful for those things. Thankful that I have food on the table. I'm thankful here in a little bit. My dad's preaching in Springtown today, and he's going to meet us, and we're going to eat some Mexican food today. It's going to be awesome. Thankful I had the money to do that. Yeah. Thankful that y'all take care of my family so well. I'm thankful for that. That's what I mean. Just got to count stuff. Just got to think a little bit. And don't let the devil get you on the negative so much. Don't let the devil get you under those circumstances. Don't let the devil get you so pessimistic and, boy, just you'd be reminded of how good God's been to you. So, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't really matter what you're going through. The good stuff will outweigh the bad stuff. If you'll just sit down and give it a little bit and think about it. Be thankful. Be thankful. How are we to be thankful, preacher? Think. Just think a little bit. Take some time. If you haven't already done so this Thanksgiving, and think a little bit. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful," what? "Unto him." Bless his name. When's the last time you just went to God and said, "Lord, thank you"? By the way, I think that's how a prayer ought to start. Ought to start that way. "Lord, thank you." Before you rush in and ask him all the stuff you want, might just want to thank him a little bit too. "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me." Let's be a thankful people today. I know it's been more of a devotional type message, but just be thankful. Remember, everything comes from above. Amen. Don't take it for granted. Don't forget. That's the old devil. He gets you thinking on the negative stuff and on the stuff that's going wrong. But God's so merciful and gracious and kind. Been so good to us, as I know he has for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love, and we thank you for this reminder from Scripture, Lord, that we should be a thankful people. Lord, help us to be thankful in the good and the bad. Help us to be thankful and grateful for those around us who are so kind and gracious to us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to never forget and to always be thankful in all things. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.